here at Christ the Redeemer, we're in the middle of a series. Actually, we're almost finished with a series called Choosing to Choose. But you know, as we've been preaching this series, as we've been walking together in these past couple weeks, a lot of things have happened. So there was First Communion, which had a different homily in the series. And there was the Fireman's Mass last weekend, which had a different homily in the series. And so, or maybe it's summertime, and like you're just at Christ the Redeemer for the first time, or you've been at different masses, and things are a little crazy. And so this morning, I just want to recap where we've been in the past few weeks, and then go where we're going today. A couple weeks ago, we started talking about the chair. And we said that the chair is an image for relationship with God. It's a good image in a lot of ways, but it's a bad image because it's a thing and not a person. But the chair is an image for relationship with God. And as we fall in love with God, what happens is we enter into relationship with Him. And we rest in His embrace. John 1:18 says we rest in His lap. We rest in God's arms. And that's happened to a lot of us at times in our lives. For some of us, it was this Lent, when we came on Good Friday and kissed the cross, or when we were in this church at this time, and we stood up to say, "Yes, Jesus, I want to follow you." Maybe it was a long time ago, or maybe it was just recently, but most of us in here have in some way fallen in love with God. But we realize that as we fall in love with God, very soon there are things that tempt us to move out of relationship with God, to go from the embrace of God into something else. And we said that maybe our priorities are screwed up. Maybe for some of us at some times, actually probably for all of us at certain times, the things of the world take a higher priority than the things of God. And so we find ourselves maybe out here kind of running away from a relationship with God. Or maybe sometimes it's not priorities, but maybe I was here in relationship with God and I have patterns of sin, because our sin, the devil is very predictable. And we weak human beings are very predictable. And so the patterns that I used to follow when I used to fall into this sin or that sin, well, the pattern just kind of came back. And so I'm tempted to move away from God. Or sometimes it's just the pace of life that we're living. A lot of us, me, I am living too fast. A lot of us are living too fast, and sometimes when we live too fast, we forget to listen to the voice of God. And so at some point, please God, you and I have fallen in love with Jesus Christ, and now we want to do the work of staying in love, the work of resisting the temptation and fostering whatever is going to keep me here, whatever is going to keep me in relationship. So last week, we talked about one thing, I guess a couple things, that keep us in relationship. We said that God lives, God interacts with us in the present moment. The past is gone, the future has not yet come. But God is loving you and me. God is holding you in existence right now. So what can we do, we said last week, to foster living in the present moment? And we said that one of the things that oftentimes will distract us from the present moment is these little computers that we keep in our pockets that are colorful and nice and engineered to keep us engaged with them. And we said maybe in this past week we could evaluate our relationship with our cell phones, just because it's so easy to get sucked in to like the virtual world. Just because this tool is so powerful for communication and for human connection and for study and for all sorts of things, that it's really easy to use it wrongly and to get sucked out of the present moment into something that's just not really real. So we said last week that we can reevaluate how we use our cell phones, not because we don't like cell phones, but for the purpose of being more present to the present moment. And we said that as we do that, we want to foster in our lives time for silence and self-reflection. Cell phone, silence, self-reflection. So we foster silence because it's only in the quiet, in the silence, that we can come to hear the voice of God. And as we enter into silence, sometimes, most of the time, all the time, something is going to pop up. It might be lots of temptations that I need to bring to the Lord and places where I need to ask for healing. When I enter into the silence, it might be lots of worry about what's going to happen tomorrow or next week or next year. Sometimes when I go into the silence, what's going to happen is lots of guilt or perhaps shame of things in the past. I don't know, all sorts of things like can come up in the silence, but when the silence comes, like that's the first step in communion with God. That's the first step. It's not prayer yet. Last week we actually didn't talk about prayer. We just talked about the things that help us to pray. Moving away the distractions. The image for which is the cell phone. But there are other distractions too. And fostering silence that we might hear the voice of God. So let's say we did that. Say we did that this week. I did that this week. I didn't do it well. I fell sometimes. I messed up sometimes. And I repented sometimes. But I tried to do that with you, with us all together this week, to reevaluate my relationship with my cell phone, to take more time in silence. And as we do that, you and I together, like things come up in silence. And when we begin, more or less, to meditate. And if you scroll through on your cell phone, you probably see that the advertisements for all those apps that are supposed to help us to meditate. Be careful about those. But what does that mean? Open your bulletin to page 3 at the bottom. We want to talk this week about swings and seesaws. When we meditate, all it really means is that we're thinking about stuff. When we meditate, all it really means is that we get quiet and we allow ourselves to reflect upon what's going on. And that's a good thing. That's a helpful thing. That usually improves our lives. That's why people pay money for these apps that like help them meditate, because it helps like to bring just a little bit of peace and a little bit of settledness into our lives most of the time. And that's a good thing. But God is calling us to something more than meditation. Because meditation is just me. And that's the key today. That's the difference. If I want to stay here, I've got to move past meditation into prayer. I've got to move from being alone on the swing, which is a good thing, which is a fun thing. But I've got to move from being alone on the swing and get on the seesaw. How many people, if you know what you're doing, does it take to swing? One. But how many people does it take to seesaw? Two. And that's the difference. It's, y'all, the spiritual life, like staying here, staying in a relationship with God, choosing to choose, It's very, very deep. It's very, very profound. Relationship with God is the deepest and most joy-giving and most important thing in the world and into eternity. Sometimes it's very, very hard because sometimes our sins or our temptations to sin get in the way. But in the end, relationship with God is also the simplest thing in the world. Because this is what we were made for. That your joy might be complete. Joy. Delight. Not the kind of delight that passes away 2 weeks later, or 2 hours later, or 2 months later. But joy that is full. Joy that takes us to the end. And that is what Jesus calls us to. Real joy. Relational joy. And to be there, to stay there, to live here where we receive joy, comes in prayer. It requires us to resist the temptations, the priorities, or the patterns, or the pace, or whatever else it is that pulls us out of communion. It requires us to foster the facilitating conditions for prayer. It requires us to till the soil and to plant the seed, which we do by mostly by silence, by self-reflection. But then, when we start to take time in silence, what happens, the spiritual masters tell us, you know this, because most of you, if not all of you, have tried it, and some of you come to me and you say, Father, I spent time in silence, and I'm sitting down, and I'm trying to pray, and I don't know what's the difference between what I'm thinking and what God's saying, because it all just kind of feels like my thoughts. So what do I do with that? The first step is to move from the swing to the seesaw. The first step is simply to say, Jesus, I'm not really sure right now which of this is from you and which of this is from me, but Jesus, I offer it to you. Jesus, you know what? I'm not sure which of this is from you and which of this is from me, but I know that I'm worried about my kids, and I know that that's coming up when I take silence. So Lord, I offer them to you. Lord, I'm gonna read some scripture, and I'm gonna ask you to talk to me about my kids. Or Lord, I don't know. I'm really ashamed of what I did in the past, and I just can't forgive myself, and I can't let that go. And I don't know if you're bringing that up or that I'm bringing that up when I'm now in silence. But you know what? I offer that to you, and I ask you to heal me. And I'm just gonna pray a decade of the rosary, and I'm just gonna give this to you. And you see, by just saying that, by just literally talking to Jesus out loud, if it helps you. It can be in your mind, but it can also be out loud if you're in a place to do that and it helps you. Jesus, I want you to talk to me about this. I want us to talk together. And so I'm going to stop sitting on the swing thinking about it. But I'm going to get on the seesaw and just say something about it to you. Man, that's a big change. When our thoughts turn from the swing to the seesaw, from meditation to prayer, from conversation with myself to conversation with God. And so today, turn your bulletins to the next page, page 4. We just want to give you 3 really simple ways to begin to do that. This isn't the end of prayer, but this is the beginning of prayer. And I guarantee you, if you try it, and it's consistent, your life will be different. If you don't have a bulletin with you right now, get you one on the way out. The ushers can help you. They're all there on the tables, or you can ask somebody. And one of 3 things. You've got 3 opportunities for prayer for you in the bulletin this week, and I invite you not to try all 3. I invite you to commit this week to one. Either in the morning, at midday, or at night. Just one. 5 minutes a day. If you commit to it for this week, and you succeed all week, all right, the next week, pick another one. And do two. But for this week, just one. What are the first words out of your mouth in the morning? What's your first thought? If my priorities are out of line, if I put work or pleasure or school or something less important before God throughout my day, if that's what I struggle with, then what could I do to help my priorities to be right? Well, one of the things that I could do is that the first words out of my mouth in the morning could be about the first most important thing. About relationship with God. And so I invite you just to take your bulletin and to put it on the side of your bed. And when you wake up in the morning, just to roll out of bed onto your knees, or if you can't kneel, just to grab it and just to say that prayer. Just to say it. Oh Jesus, through the Immaculate Heart of Mary, I offer you my prayers, works, joys, and sufferings of this day. For all the intentions of your Sacred Heart, in union with the holy sacrifice of the Mass throughout the world, for the salvation of souls, the reparation of sins, the reunion of all Christians, and in particular for the intentions of the Holy Father this month. Amen. Or maybe that's not for you, at least not this week. Maybe this week, God's going to call you to pray in the middle of the day. So at the beginning of your lunch break, first thing, before food, before you check Instagram, before anything else, say, Jesus, I'm just going to take 5 minutes of my lunch break, and I'm going to give it to you, and I'm going to check in the middle of the day. Maybe I know that I've got some patterns of sin, and maybe a midday check-in will help me see, oh man, like, it's been all morning, and I'm in the midst of some kind of pattern that takes me out of relationship. And so I take 5 minutes on my lunch hour to say, Jesus, I want to go back. I might be out a little bit. I'm in the middle of these bad patterns, these vices. And so, Jesus, I want to go back, and I want to be with you. What's my mood right now? Good mood or a bad mood? Am I aware of God's presence, or have I been aware this morning? How can I stay aware? Or if I haven't been aware, how can I stay aware this afternoon? Did I sin this morning? Do I need to repent? This last one might be the most important. What do I need from God for the rest of the day? You see how that goes from meditation to prayer? First, it's just about my mood. It's about me. Second, even, like, am I aware or not of God's presence? But the last one, Jesus, I need you. Jesus, I need this. Jesus, I need your grace to stay grateful, because I know that apart from you, I can do nothing. Jesus, I need your grace to repent of what I did this morning, or to go apologize to that coworker. Jesus, I need your strength to break free from this pattern that I'm engaged in that's taken me out. Jesus, I need you, and I trust that you are going to provide for me today. Or maybe this week, Jesus is calling you, calling me, to take just 5 minutes every night to examine the day at the end. Just to be totally honest with you, like, this is the one that Jesus is calling me to, personally, this week. And the reason that Jesus is calling me to this one, personally, this week, is because I live at the wrong pace very, very often. Very, very often, I live too fast. And I can tell you that this week, Jesus is calling me to take some time every night to recommit to making an examination. To slow down. To remember that God is with me. To remember that God was with me all day. Even in the times where I ran away from Him. to give gratitude to the Lord for the day. How often do we forget, just glaze over the good things of the day and only think about the bad? To have gratitude, to remember the good things, to reflect on the times where I said no to God, to repent for the times where I said no to God, and to resolve to change tomorrow. To say, Jesus, I need your help to be different tomorrow. Jesus, I thank you for the good of today. Jesus, I'm sorry for the bad of the day. And Jesus, here's what I'm going to do with your help to change tomorrow. I can only do it with your help. Apart from you, I can do nothing. I know that. But I know that you have chosen me. And this is the last thing and the most important. Y'all, we've been talking for a couple weeks now about what we do to stay in communion with God. And all those things that we talked about today and that we talked about for the past couple weeks are very important. Because if we don't do them, we will, in our weakness and our sin, move out of relationship. But today, whatever you're going to do this week, whether you're going to pray for 5 minutes in the morning, at lunchtime, or at night, whatever you're going to do this week, we always remember that God's love comes first. That we did not choose him, but he chose us. That it's not our responsibility to grow in holiness. That it's not our responsibility to continue to fall in love. That it's not, in some sense, it's not even our responsibility to stay in the chair. But we do what we can. Talk to God. And God changes our hearts. God changes our lives. And God gives us the joy that is complete.